most consequential decision from the Supreme Court in the last term, at least in my judgment, was Merit Management versus FTI. I'm sorry that the J. Alex people couldn't have gotten their name in that case, but it was FTI instead. This deals with the infamous safe harbor under Section 546E of the Bankruptcy Code. There was a massive circuit split that the Supreme Court resolved by their unanimous decision. We had the Second Circuit, Second, Third, Sixth, Eighth, and Tenth Circuits on one side, and the Seventh and the Eleventh on the other, and here is the issue. The statute says that you may not mount an avoidance action, principally fraudulent transfer suit, if the transfer was, and I quote the statute, to or for the benefit of a financial institution. So Wall Street did what you would expect they would do. Anytime there was a transaction that might possibly in the future be attacked as a fraudulent transfer, they would somewhere in the stream of payments insert a bank. And the Second Circuit, which has never found a bank it didn't want to protect, as a result said, oh, well, of course, 546E, the transfer goes through a bank. And by the way, that could be enough. The bank could be a mere escrow agent with no skin in the game. The suit must be dismissed. The Seventh Circuit ruled the other way by an opinion by the chief judge. And guess what? In a unanimous decision, Justice Sotomayor said, nonsense. The case had been presented as one where you would try to invoke the mere conduit concept, but she didn't even say that. She said, all you do is to look at who it is that the trustee is trying to recover from. That's the transfer that you look at. You forget about everything in the middle. Well, this is really important because it means now that when you have a leveraged buyout that effected a fraudulent transfer, you can now recover. Previously, you could never recover. Also, by the way, previously, the statute was interpreted to mean that if it was a public company, you could never mount a fraudulent transfer suit to recover from the selling shareholders. That because, inevitably with a public company, a transfer agent, which falls within the statute, would kick in the estimation of those circuits, the safe harbor. Well, that's no longer the case, and I think the prevailing interpretation is you can now mount an attack on a public company fraudulent transfer. This decision shows you, among other things, that when it comes to resolving a split of circuits, the Supreme Court does not count noses among the circuits, because the circuits were almost or overwhelmingly on the side that lost. This is a decision that will have ramifications for years to come. I don't know what it does to the notion of mere conduit, because she didn't talk about it. Mere conduit is a concept that kicks in all of the time when you need to decide whether somebody is the initial or a subsequent transferee. I really don't know whether this decision by Justice Sotomayor really abrogates that notion of mere conduit. I guess it probably doesn't in the question of whether somebody's an immediate or an initial transferee. But in any event, that's an issue very much worth litigating, and I very much recommend that you read the decision because it is clearly, I think, a case in which the Supreme Court does not mention plain meaning when it won't give them the result they want.
Thank you, Bill. You have a wonderful ability to take an opinion that is really opaque in many ways and make it and provide a reasonable rationale. We appreciate it. Debbie?
Excuse me, I'm recovering from a cold, so a little rough. But also from the Supremes this year, we have the unfortunate, but maybe not quite honest debtor, Mr. Appling and his law firm, Lamar, Archer, and Coffrin. On page 16 of the consumer materials, Appling owed about $60,000 to his law firm. They threatened to withdraw if they weren't paid, so he promised them that when he was to receive a future tax refund of $100,000, that he would cover their current and future owed legal expenses with that tax refund. So the firm continued to provide representation. He got the refund. It wasn't quite $100,000. He used it instead to pay business expenses and didn't pay his lawyers. The lawyer sued him, got a judgment. He filed Chapter 7. The law firm then brought an adversary proceeding and argued that the debt was non-dischargeable for false pretenses, a false representation, or actual fraud. Now, remember that subparagraph B of Section 523A2 provides discharge of debts are barred if arising from a materially false statement respecting the debtor's financial condition, but only if the statement is in writing.